Okay, welcome to the UK Monday night All Addictions meeting. Our speaker tonight is Nancy from Los Angeles, speaking on the topic of the spiritual malady. Take it away, Nancy.
Nancy, you need to unmute.
Oh, wow, what nervousness I did. Hi, my name is Nancy, and I'm an alcoholic, and I also say that I am a recovered alcoholic, and that's what has occurred in my life. I no longer am suffering from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and so today I'm speaking on the spiritual malady, and you know, I used to say it's an allergy of the body. Alcoholism is an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, and a spiritual malady. But I was unable to discuss that with you or help you understand what that spiritual malady was. But in Big Book Awakening and turning the statements into questions, I got more information. And we spent so much time, so much weeks and time in the first step, that where it would make it clear. So some of the places that it talks about this spiritual malady is one that we were on, that we were restless, irritable, and discontented. And that was listed in the doctor's opinion. And then they said that alcoholics drink essentially because they like the effect that's produced by alcohol. That even though the feeling is so elusive, that even though they admit it's injurious, they can't differentiate the truth from the false. That they're restless, irritable, and discontented until they can again experience the ease and comfort that comes from taking the drink. And so that is our dilemma, you know, that we're trying to experience that ease and comfort. So the problem lies is that we try to do it in and of ourselves. That's that spiritual malady. And Dan Sherman said in one of his writings on step 6 and 7, that the spiritual malady is this level of insanity that we have that we can't fix of our own power. We've got to have a spiritual power that's going to fix these things for us, that can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. But we spend so much time in and of ourselves trying to do it. And that's indicative of what they list on page 52 of the Devilment. I don't have them written, but we seem to couldn't make a living. We were having trouble in personal relationships. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't seem to be of help to anyone else. And they listed these bedevilments. And then in the next paragraph, it says, when we saw other people solve their problems by a simple reliance on this power of the universe, then we had to stop doubting the power of God. But before then, either by doubt, whatever the particular thing is for you, by doubt or not trusting him, or being agnostic or atheist, or like, I didn't realize that I was agnostic. I believe that God existed. And because I believe that he existed, I would pray. But when I got up off my knees, I didn't know how to walk out this God, you know, the practical application of this God in my life. So I got up and then I started being God. You know what I mean? It wasn't the intention. It was something that I felt like I needed to be. And then in Big Book Awakening, when we do the inventory, we see how that underlying fear, we see so much about what the fear is doing in our lives. So that was one of the reasons why we had the extended third column. And so we saw what the fear was doing there, what the underlying fear was. And then in the fourth column, we wrote down the fear. And in Big Book Awakening, we work up. And we see how the fear drives, and this is from page 62. It says, selfishness and self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, selfishness, and self-seeking. And so when I look at what my fear is, now we work at going down where we fill out self-seeking, selfish attitude, the delusion that we tell ourselves, the lie we tell ourselves, and what the underlying fear is. But when we look at it going up, we see how we behave. We see how that fear is driving us to behave in certain ways that produce these bedevilments. So if with my daughter, and she's always my greatest example, I used to feel that she was disrespectful. And it was because she needed to act how I needed her to act so I would feel wonderful and perfect at all times and loved and respected. So I had this whole situation set up on how she had to be behaved for me to be okay. And if she faltered from that, then if the all hell would like break loose in the household. and that would, the trouble would parlay into a big snowball. And I didn't know how to change that. But at that time, I was still operating with only the belief in God, that he existed. And deep down inside of me, I didn't think God even liked me, let alone that he would love me. So how much trust and reliance was I going to put on God or put in God? And so when I going through Big Book Awakening, one, I found out I'm powerless. That level of insanity, and it was insane how I drank. It was insane. That level of insanity, I couldn't change it. I tried every which way but up, but I was unable to change the problems that were going on in my life. I couldn't stop the drinking. I couldn't stop what was causing me or driving me to these behaviors, like the drinking, like the controlling, like trying to have it my way, like operating out of fear. I couldn't stop it. And so what I found out is once I found out I was powerless and I was never going to be able to do it, but we get the impression that at some point, at some time, then we're going to figure out the right answer. I'm going to say the exact right thing to my daughter to get her to act right all of a sudden. But that isn't how this power greater than ourselves, how it runs. And I don't have the power. I can't do it any way that I try it. I'm not going to be able to do it of my own power. So I must have this relationship with this power greater than myself. I must have that. And I must put my trust and reliance on him instead of me trying to power my life. So, you know, I'll put it this way. God turns the universe. But when Nancy is trying to turn the universe of my life, then that's where the problems are. And that's what I have been doing all my life, not knowing. I thought that everything that God had given me, and Tyler says it this way, every single thing that I could bring to the table, my skills, my intelligence, my looks, my figure, these things are kind of gone now, but when they existed, those are some of the things that I used to power my life or to be okay. And Tyler says, everything that you bring to the table, all of that stuff, all of those parts of me that I could bring to the table, minus God. And that's when I'm operating with my spiritual malady, because God is not part of it, it's only Nancy. And Nancy is driven by 100 forms of fear. Nancy is for example, some people, they may power their life by their looks, you know, by their money, by their intelligence, by what they have. You know, it's almost like we live behind a mask. The true, the authentic Nancy can't be there. I've got to produce an illusion in a sense where, and I don't even, all of this that I'm talking about, is not like I'm sitting back like, you know, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that and then I'm going to do that. It's all taking place inside. It's this play that I'm running, that I'm actually being the director of this play in my life. And I'm not even realizing that that's what I'm doing, but that is that level of insanity inside of me that I can't seem to control myself or stop myself. So I could live in a spiritual malady. That means minus the power of the universe, minus this power greater than myself and Nancy power in my life, or I could come to depend and rely on this power greater than myself to do for me what I can't do for myself. And how the other aspect of that is that I had so many misconceptions, so many things about this power greater than myself that weren't actually right. I had misconceptions. They had been impressed on me when I was young, and I thought that those were the things that made me think that God didn't even like me, let alone that he would love me. And so through the process, we go through and we look at these things. What are these things that these misconceptions, these old ideas about God, old ideas about how I'm supposed to operate, old ideas about religion, old ideas about how this universe runs, old ideas about how I'm supposed to look, how my friends are supposed to look, how what I'm supposed to have, instead of all of those things running my life, I have to look at them. And I have to look at them and see that isn't a true, that isn't what a life that's driven by a power greater than myself, what it's about. It's not about how I look. I can take away the mask when I'm operating with this power greater than myself. I can be my authentic self. I don't have to run a play. So if I'm running a play and they talk about that third column being our play and our director, and I like it because Jill C. says that when he's working with his sponsees, he actually has them sit in the director's chair and so they can direct it. And I had to look at where I was doing that, unconsciously how I was doing that. Like one time my daughter, we were having this disagreement and it didn't just happen one day. It happened over a long period of time, but it was about toilet tissue. So one day she said to me, so she was getting upset about this, that I use too much toilet tissue. And she said, well, how many sheets do you use? And I mean, we had H-E-L-L in the house for months, maybe 6 months, maybe even longer than 6 months. And like if I would be sitting by a table and she's walking up and she's coming in and she better have that toilet tissue. And I don't want to hear any toilet tissue things today and blah, 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 blah. And before she could get in the house, I had already destroyed what I wanted. What I wanted was a fellowship, a love with my daughter, for us to have harmony in the home. But I let that, you know, and it really, when you look at it, it was just like a spiritual malady. It wasn't anything pretty in it. And it wasn't pretty inside my soul either. It wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't, I can't produce a life that's fulfilling on my own. I'm going to produce a life that I'm going to argue over how many sheets of toilet tissue I use. That's what I do in and of myself. If I had known that I had this spiritual malady and that it was because of the absence of this power greater than myself, I was running my own life, I would not have done the pitiful, incomprehensible, demoralizing things that I did. I wouldn't have cried the tears that I cried with no idea of a solution, none whatsoever, idea of a solution. I didn't know I was lying to myself. I didn't know I was operating out of fear. I didn't know I needed you to behave a certain way so I could be okay. The play that I write, I want to be not so much that I have to be the star, but I have to be fulfilled. I have to be okay. But I have all kind of ideas about that. Well, what can this power greater than myself do? It's totally different from what Nancy could do. Because there's
some, 5 minutes, Nancy.
Okay, there's some things that have been given to me that I never could have produced myself. And I always tell this story. At 27 years of sobriety, my mom died. And I ended up in a mental hospital for 12 days. And I ended up crazy out of my mind for like 4 or 5 months. So one day I just pick up and I go in this junket up to Santa Barbara. My daughter's on Facebook looking for me, anybody seeing or talk to my mom. And, you know, it was horrible for them. I didn't see that. And, but I was crazy. I was just ridiculous. I had this little lighter, but it was shaped like a gun, and it was a lighter and a laser pointer, and I had it in my bra, and I'm Bonnie and Clyde, you know, and I pulled it out on people. I pulled it out on someone in Union Station here in Los Angeles, and in this day and age, you could get dead from that. You know, this was in 2014. And when I came back and when I started going through the Big Book Awakening process, I was able to look at that. And it was an example to me that God took care of me. That God, because I had no ability to take care of myself. I would have got dead if it wasn't for this power greater than myself taking care of me. In Bill's story, he says, faith has to work in and through us 24 hours a day. Faith has to work in and through us 24 hours a day. And Nancy doesn't have to produce it. I don't have to produce this working of it. I have now the reliance and the trust in God so I can lean on him. You know how they used to have that thing like, you know, the person is standing behind you and you have so much faith in them, you'll fall back and just know that they'll catch you. I know that now. I know it. One of the reasons why I know it is because there's a difference in my life. My life, as a result of finding out what this big book is saying, written by alcoholics for alcoholics, I've been able to allow God to show that to me in my life. I became a seeker of this true God, not the one that had been impressed upon me. Not the ones in all the misconceptions. And this power greater than myself, as it says in the big book, can do for me what I can't do for myself. They also say on page 27, it was Roland Hazard when he returned and he was asking the doctor, why doesn't it work? I mean, you know, he had spent over a year over in Europe trying to get better and to not drink and so forth. And in a short time, he was drunk again. So he asked the doctor about it. And the doctor said, well, we have been seeing occurrences of people who have had this spiritual experience and their whole ideas, their emotions, their feelings, and all of that changed. And they got a new set of ideas. And in this new set of ideas, it puts me in new soil. You know, now my soil is being nourished from this power greater than myself instead of from this internal insanity or this internal condition that used to exist that had been power in my life. So I'll have a spiritual malady when I'm disconnected. When I'm connected to this power source and it's not flowing for Nancy as the power source, then the spiritual malady is not prevalent in my life. I hope I shed some light on that. I hope I shed some light on it. But I am no longer living with the spiritual malady. But if I don't maintain some simple spiritual tools if I don't maintain these spiritual principles, if I don't work with you and help others, just like sharing here today, if I don't do things like that, I could fall back into that old spiritual malady. And I would be, it's just a matter of time of what could happen. So with that, thank you for letting me share. Oh, I'm glad that's over.